Sam's eyes were active and a stony face as he surveyed the landscape. Several miles passed. The land rose and fell like long rolling swells on the open sea, but it was a sea of grass. The duo crossed two streams, or maybe the same stream twice, winding and doubling back on itself. It was hard to judge such things in the lonesome Titan immensity. Sam devoutly wished it would stay lonesome. He and Lydia rode side by side. At last, she broke the silence.
What are you doing in these parts, anyhow? Ain't Yankee Land good enough for you?
I like to roam.
Reckon you wish you kept on moving instead of lighting and hang tree.
Something like a smirk showed on her mouth for an instant.
You might have something there.
What for you come up on the hills?
A day's hunting.
Now you're being hunted. How do you like that?
How do you like it?
The girl fell silent, her face set in a sullen cast.
We're getting close. This trail runs parallel to Old Mission Road. It lies 6-7 miles farther south.
They crossed the trail at a tangent, continuing on their southeasterly course. A long, shallow incline topped out on a grassy table dotted with stands of timber and patches of brush. Bunches of longhorn cattle wandered in the distance. A patch of dust, no bigger than a man's thumb held at arm's length, smudged the blue sky of the southwest quadrant. Sam squinted at it. Its source, whatever it was as yet unseen. Lydia saw what he was looking at.
Them?
Don't know. Could be a herd of longhorns or some ranch hands out riding.
There ain't no ranches here.
Well, there's that.
So?
Let's see what they do. To run now would kick up more dust and maybe tip them off if they ain't already seen us.
They say them Comanches don't miss much.
They do say that.
Keeping on their course, Sam fought the urge to put his boot heels into Dusty's flanks and break into a run. The patch of dust changed direction, moving parallel to their course.
They're following us.
Looks like.
They continued across a long stretch of open ground, their progress seeming agonizingly slow. There was no cover to be had in the near or middle ground, just open flatland. The source of the nearing dust cloud revealed itself as a blur of moving black dots, marching ant-like across a green table. That seeming slowness was only an illusion caused by vastness, for the space between the duo and the unknowns was steadily narrowing.
Riders, about a dozen.
Run for it.
You a good rider?
I ain't gonna fall off Brownie if that's what you're asking, Mr. Yank.
Put some speed on, but don't go all out just yet. Save something for later. Ride!
The chase was on. That it was a chase, there could be no doubt. The duo's horses broke into a run. Dusty was faster than Brownie, but Sam held him back, letting the girl ride several lengths ahead of him. He wanted to know where she was at all times. As for the pursuers, he only had to look back over his shoulder to see where they were. The pack moved up fast, kicking up dust. The not-so-distant brown plume grew into a pillar rising into the sky. Comanches. Too near to be outdistanced in the long run, and no sheltering ravines or thickets of wood in which to lose them. They were hunters, not easily shaken once they had the scent of blood in their nostrils. They were still a fair piece off, but the gap was steadily decreasing. Sam had a plan, desperate though it might be. He was looking for more advantageous terrain to set it in motion. Up ahead, he saw a slight break in the unreeling emptiness of the flat. A rock outcropping, a handful of boulders, a couple of scraggly trees. Sam pointed it out to Lydia.
Make for the rocks!
What do we do there?
Fight!
That seemed to satisfy the girl. She rode all out for the rocks, leading far forward on the coursing horse, almost doubled over Brownie's muscular, dark-maned neck. A good little rider at that, Sam noted approvingly. The landscape was a breathless blur as they closed on the rocks. Some man-sized boulders stood heaped around a gnarly mesquite tree, a scruff of brush. Sam and Lydia pulled up to a halt in the lee of the boulders. Their bases were planted deep in the turf. Behind the rocks was a bowl-shaped depression, little more than a foot deep and about 10 feet wide.
What good's this? Engines will just ride around it!
It's a place to make a stand. Better than you might think.
Pulling his blade, Sam cut the rawhide thong, securing the long, flat wooden box to the metal rings in the side of the saddle. Gripping the case by its suitcase handle, he carefully set it down against a rock. Taking hold of the bridle, he pulled his horse's head down and to the side.
Down, down! You know the drill.
Legs bending, the animal knelt down in the bowl and lay on its side, flanks quivering as he panted for breath. It was a trick that had served him well in many a hot firefight. Sam wanted to minimize the chances of Dusty being hit by a stray slug. He set a lot of store by the animal. Brownie didn't know the trick and wasn't minded to follow suit, going by Lydia's inability to make him obey.
Tie your horse to the tree. Time good so we can't break loose.
Lydia hesitated.
Comanches won't shoot him. They want him alive.
But your horse laid down.
Dusty's been in the war and knows what to do. Brownie don't, and this ain't the time to try and teach him.
The charging Comanches were several hundred yards away. Every inch of that fast, narrowing gap meant the difference between life and death. Lydia hitched Brownie to the tree and ran over to Sam with a rifle in hand.
Take cover behind the rocks and keep your head down, girl.
The hell you say, Mr. Yank. I aim to kill me some of them red devils.
I believe you will at that, missy. Keep your nerve and we might just get out of this alive.
I reckon I can stand anything an old heathen northerner can and more.
Sam was done talking. He went down on one knee, laying the wooden box flat on the ground. He unfastened twin brass snaps at the join, opening the case.
What for are you fiddling with that?
I've got a secret weapon, you might say.
Sam lifted the lid of the wooden box, exposing its contents. Within the hollows of a black, crushed velvet encasing lay several pieces of hardware, an elongated rifle barrel, a wooden stock, and a telescopic gun sight. Crouching behind a chest-high rock, Lydia took up a shooting position, placing the Henry rifle across the boulder's flat top and snugging the butt of the stock into a hollow of her thin shoulder.
Them engines is getting awfully close.
Don't shoot yet. It's a waste of ammunition. Wait till they get closer.
Mister, they're getting too dang close.
Her face was stiff, the pupils of her eyes blue-rimmed black dots, large and swimming. She kept glancing from the charging Comanches to Sam to see what he was doing. Sam loosed the mule's leg from its holster. The hardware in the case was custom designed for the cut-down Winchester. Practiced hands, moving with expert sureness, Sam freed the elongated rifle barrel from its casing. Its butt end was expertly tooled, machined with spiraling grooves that ensured a perfect fit when joined to the muzzle of the Winchester sawed-off barrel. Sam screwed the long barrel into place, a final twist bringing its front sight post up with a click to the deadline center vertical. Taking the smoothly polished wooden buttstock from its holder, he fitted its forward end over the butt end of the short-handled mule's leg. The stock's open central slot fits snugly over the rear of the weapon. A pair of screws with flat, thumbnail-shaped ends was set in place in holes drilled in the opposite ends at the head of the stock. Strong, dexterous fingers worked them, turning them in place in corresponding holes in the Winchester's chopped handle. The mule's leg, cut down for quick access when in the saddle or in the close quarters of a saloon or back alley, was transformed into a long rifle with the precision and accuracy of the same. The wood case held a telescopic sight, too, but there was neither time nor need for attaching it. The Comanches were too close.
Their blood is up. They're hot for the kill, the dirty so-and-sos.
Hey, mister. Don't let them take me alive.
Don't be in such an all-fired hurry to die.
I ain't no kid. I know what happens to girls they catch. Promise, you won't let that happen to me.
It won't.
Swear it!
I swear.